This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, yes, not too bad today, thank you very much. A couple of interesting things. First of all, the listeners might be aware of the fact that the whole incident that took place in Mount Meron on Lag BaOmer, which was not long.
Oh, Anthony, the line just went a little bit strange there. Are you with us? We haven't had this for some time, that the line has challenged us. Let's see if we can hear you now.
Do you hear me okay, Howard?
Absolutely perfect. All right.
Okay, so I was going to say that I was referring to the Mount Meron disaster that took place on Lag BaOmer about almost 2 years ago. It's still under a legal review. Yesterday, very interestingly, and I'm not quite sure what the reason behind this timing was, but a video clip was released yesterday which showed the police who were manning the entrance to that tunnel, which ultimately collapsed and lost those lives. The police were standing there sending out emergency SOS signals to their colleagues saying, it's become overcrowded, we need help, we need to close this passage off because there's going to be something going on here that won't be pleasant. Please, can we get help? A half an hour goes by, no reinforcements are sent, and eventually, unfortunately, people were killed in the crash that happened after that. So very, very incriminating evidence for the police, who the individuals on duty did the right thing by sending out a message, an emergency message, to ask for reinforcements. Unfortunately, right, their pleas were not answered, and ultimately people were killed in that squash. And so many people implicated in all of this, and it goes right from the top down. Former Prime Minister Netanyahu is being implicated for allowing the event to go ahead at all. People have accused him of making a political statement to allow the ultra-Orthodox parties to go ahead with this event that should never have gone ahead in the first place. The leaders of the ultra-Orthodox parties are being incriminated for allowing this event to go ahead, for insisting that it should go ahead to satisfy their party faithful. Individual owners of the site are being incriminated for not maintaining the site sufficiently to house that many people. Of course, the police are being criticized for numerous failures and deficiencies, one of which was evident in that video yesterday. So still a lot of water to flow under this particular bridge. It's far from over. And just another little snippet which I read about, which I really liked, that there was a groundbreaking ceremony that took place in the town of Tel Mond. Tel Mond is a town which, according to this particular article, is a 15-minute drive from Ramallah. I would have said 25 to 30.
Oh, Anthony, I don't believe anything when they tell me that, because everything is 20 minutes from Jerusalem, 20 minutes from Tel Aviv, only the distance is never 40 minutes. So I never buy any of that. So let's put
near to Ra'anana, in the area of Ra'anana, approximately within a half an hour of Ra'anana, I would say, and within about a half an hour of Netanya as well, even though the article says 10 minutes from Netanya, but I'm not sure about that. Right. Anyway, somewhere between Ra'anana and Netanya is Tel Mond, and in Tel Mond there was a groundbreaking ceremony last week to launch a memorial garden that will commemorate South African Jews who contributed to the struggle against apartheid and also gave support to the State of Israel. And the garden has been named Gan Siyabonga. Garden,
that,
of course, being the Hebrew word for park or garden. Siyabonga, of course, we thank you in Zulu. And this is going to be a 5,000 square meter garden surrounded by trees within Tel Mond. Apparently, there will be 36 trees planted, which is, according to Jewish tradition, each generation is saved by 36 righteous people, so therefore the 36 trees, and stones will be placed to commemorate each activist with a QR barcode, which can be scanned to reveal the history of the individual who is being memorialized, commemorated in the particular garden. And I'm told that the final list of people who are to be commemorated has not yet been resolved. And this is a project which is put together by the South African Zionist Federation and the Jewish National Fund. If listeners out there think that they know of people whose names might be relevant to be put into this garden, they are being invited to contact the South African Zionist Federation to put them forward.
Amazing. Really, really just an amazing initiative, and something that is long overdue. Recriminations are flowing between members of the outgoing government and members of the incoming government. What's the latest accusation?
Well, there's a slightly ironic situation that we find ourselves in, because we still have Prime Minister Yair Lapid, who is running the country until such time as a new government is put together. But in recent days, he's begun to behave like the leader of the opposition, already firing arrows at incoming Prime Minister Netanyahu with regard to actions that he's taking to put his new government together. The current Minister of Defense, Benny Gantz, has made a speech saying that the way in which the defense ministry is being divided up effectively means that whoever will take over the Ministry of Defense, once it's all been sliced and diced and divided up between all the different parties, will effectively become what he terms a second-rate Minister of Defense. And so there are these backwards and forwards. Prime Minister Netanyahu has accused outgoing Prime Minister Yair Lapid and outgoing Minister of Defense Benny Gantz of sedition, of incitement, of trying to create a certain incitement within the armed forces to try to encourage people to rebel against some of the new principles and new structures which are being put in place by incoming Prime Minister Netanyahu for the new government. So there's just this backwards and forwards constantly of criticism and counter-criticism, trying to defend what's being done. And the whole process of slicing and dicing various ministries, of course, is easy to pick up and to criticize. And certainly Yair Lapid and Benny Gantz, amongst others, have not lost the opportunity to do so. In terms of where we stand with putting a new government together, a few interesting things from yesterday. The first of which is apparently that once again, Ari Aderi, the leader of the Shas party, apparently had a shouting, screaming match in a meeting with incoming Prime Minister Netanyahu and incoming Minister of Finance, Bezalel Smotrich. We already know that Smotrich and Derry are supposed to rotate as ministers of defense, ministers of finance, Smotrich to go first for 2 years and then Derry after that. There is already massive tension between the two of them. Derry was screaming all kinds of accusations at Smotrich about what he will and will not be doing. We know that Shas has yet to sign a coalition agreement. So this is really not the best way to start the new coalition government that's due to come into power, we think, probably within the next 2 weeks, because a two-week extension will be granted to allow Netanyahu to put the new government together. Another development is that the current Speaker of the Knesset, Miki Levy, has confirmed that he's received a request, which has been signed by 64 Knesset members, to hold a hearing to change the Knesset Speaker. So the current Speaker of the Knesset needs to put a session together in which he will lose his job and be replaced by somebody else. And the reason and the urgency around replacing the Knesset Speaker is apparently that the incoming government already wishes to pass a piece of legislation even before the government comes into power. Now, the exchange of the Knesset Speaker is usually done on the day in which the new government is sworn in. But here we're finding that it's urgent to have the Knesset Speaker in place before the new government is sworn in. Why is that? Mm. Because the new piece of legislation that they wish to push through before the government is sworn in involves a legislation that will allow for anybody who is currently under sentence or probation to serve as a minister in government. I think we all know where that's going.
We do indeed, but it's extremely worrying if they're, you know, we often think of the Knesset, certainly I do, the first time I went to the Knesset as a child, I must have been 11 or 12 years old, and I was lectured by my parents, you know, you have to behave, and you have to this, and you have to that, and respect, and then we sat there and watched these grown men, mainly men, at that time, screaming abuse at each other. So, and I kept thinking, well, you know what, don't they have to behave? It's almost a bit of a throwback to what we see as the Knesset almost as a caricature. I would have thought that we've moved on a little bit, that we actually maybe can be a little bit more respectful, that we don't have these screaming matches person to person, because it is worrying as to how this new government will function if they can't resolve issues without hurling abuse at each other.
I do agree, and of course the behavior in the Knesset leaves a lot to be desired on an average day. It just seems as if there is a certain kind of culture that comes with going to the Knesset and trying to make yourself heard, because there really is very little decorum. And if it was, some sort of a respect of the rule that when somebody stands up to speak, that they should be allowed to have their say, that they should be restricted in time as to how long they take to say it. There are those rules which are in place, unfortunately, none of which are really respected, as a result of which we often find the Knesset heavies, the security forces having to come in to cart various members of Knesset out of the hall, out of the plenum, in order to prevent them from continuing to scream their abuse, because they really don't follow decorum and they don't respect what the Knesset really represents. And when you look at the building and you enter the place, it's very overwhelming in terms of how auspicious it is. It's really something that you can feel like you're in a place which is special, which has a certain austerity to it. And yet the behavior in the plenum halls and even in the other corridors really does not respect the place. So I agree with you. And I would like to think we've moved on, but apparently not yet.
Indeed. And Israel is in discussions with senior Russian officials regarding transfer of military equipment from Syria to Ukraine.
Yeah, so this is a fascinating story, because we understand that senior Israeli and Russian officials have been holding talks in recent days around the idea of moving some of Russia's military equipment out of Syria towards Ukraine. Why are these discussions taking place? Because the Russians want to ensure that Israel does not somehow interfere with the transfer of, I think, air defense missile systems that they wish to move from Syria to Ukraine. Now, as far as Israel is concerned, this is a fascinating dilemma that Israeli officials are having to face. Because on the one hand, moving these air defense missiles out of Syria is very helpful to Israel, because really the reason that they're there is to try somehow to prevent Israel from carrying out these constant air attacks. Not that they have prevented Israel from doing so up until now, but the reason that they're there is really against Israel and not against anybody else. So moving them out of Syria would be a very, very good thing.
Good.
Moving them to Ukraine, however, seems kind of not so good from an Israeli perspective, because we know that Israel is very much inclined to support the Ukrainian cause. It won't help the relationship with President Zelensky in Ukraine, and it won't really progress what Israel would like to progress, which is trying to somehow stand in the middle, not promoting one direction or another. Here, however, is the kicker. And the kicker is that the Russian official, who is quite close to the Kremlin and who has been involved in negotiating with Israel, has warned that if Russia suffers losses on the battlefield in Ukraine, that it is likely to lead to a wave of anti-Semitism against Jews in Russia. And therefore, it is within Israel's interests to support the Russian cause as much as possible, to allow Russia to be victorious on the battlefield in Ukraine in order to prevent this wave of anti-Semitism that is already being predicted will break out in Russia, because apparently, according to this Russian official, a scapegoat will need to be found in Russia in order to satisfy people around any losses that Russia will suffer in Ukraine. Wow. that's a real wow for me. That came out completely out of the blue and something unexpected.
And very, very blatant, really, really scary. That it's look, it says it like it is, and maybe it's better that way, because then we can deal with it rather than pretending otherwise. Unfortunately, it's 8 o'clock already, but we'll continue with our conversations tomorrow. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. That was the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.